bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up.
good to have Sister Brenda Hutchison with us. Of course, most of you know she's living in Lowell, Arkansas now, but she still lays claim to us. And her little granddaughter's with her today. Appreciate that. And Anna. And then Brother James Foster and his sister, Sue Thomas. We're glad to have them. And then Sister Sue Thompson's there with us today. We sure appreciate her. And Shirley, did I see Shirley come in? There she is. Yes. We're so glad y'all are here. Anna, you want to sing your song to us? All right, well, come on. Yes, my granddaughter, Sister Rachel. Glad she's here from Louisville, Kentucky. We're glad she's here today. She's, by the way, she's going to have a baby. She's going to make me a great-grandpa again in, I think, May of next year. All right, Sister Anna, praise God.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me.
Been around here enough to know that we just sing songs and keep singing them. And, you know, one time some folks was visiting Brother Patton's church down in Texas, and this man and his wife was trying to figure out how we knew to keep on to sing it another time. Because there wasn't anybody leading us, you know. We didn't have a song leader up, you know, saying, sing it again. Or, you know, you could tell you're supposed to sing it again. And they kept trying to figure it out. And the man told his wife, he said, I think I've got it. He said, if you'll watch, write it down at the end of a song. He said, if somebody raises their hand, I think that means sing it again. But, of course, we just try to feel on the Spirit. If you're feeling on the Spirit, you can kind of tell this is the last time we're going to sing it. We're going to end right here. Or you can feel like we can't stop now. This is too good to stop. Praise God. That was part of Brother Souders' teachings on how to be led of the Spirit and watch the Spirit of God, how it's working in a service. Praise God. It's good to have Brother Emilio Green from the Dominican Republic with us again, isn't it? And Brother James Foster, he was in the meeting in Oklahoma City and told me he was going to be here today. And, of course, we have great honor for the Foster family. Brother Foster, his dad was, you know, his church wouldn't be here today if it wouldn't have been for Brother Foster. And was started in his house, and of course he was faithful to this work for so many years, and so we owe a great tribute to those who worked the road out ahead of us, went before us, and helped this become established so that we could enjoy it and be added to it. So we're really thankful for the Foster family. We want y'all to know that, as well as, you know, Brother Tucker's family. We've got great respect and honor for them, and God's working through the Tucker family like he has, and I don't count that a light thing. I knew Brother Tucker. I got to be in the old church service one time. I was in one service, and I really appreciated getting to be in that service, and of course I appreciated Brother Tucker's ministry too. Brother Foster, would you want to say something here today? We'd certainly love to for you to address us.
Sorry, I forgot to bring my Bible case in. But your message was on judgment, the four judgments. I remember, I don't know if I remember all of them, but you started out with investigative judgment, and the last one was in eternal judgment. There were two in between, but I don't. You get 81, you forget things. But I'd like to start with just hit a few highlights of my personal testimony. I was converted in 1947. Got to go to hear Brother Souders at the campground that year. And, of course, I heard him then until he kind of stepped back, about 1950, 51, he started stepping back, and, of course, he passed away in November 52. My dad got to go to his funeral. And I had already married by that time and was living in Illinois, and Dad and the pastor and his wife came by and on their way to Louisville and stopped and visited with me on their way. But then it took me almost a year. It was April of 48 before I received the Holy Ghost. But it took some... I couldn't get this through the old noggin, I guess. But after that, then, wife and I married in 51, and we moved to Jonesboro. My uncle was trying to get a church started there, and we helped him a while, and so he didn't get the church built. So we decided to move on to Brother Truman Stauffer's in Caraway, Illinois, in January of 52, and I had a chance to go to work for a good salary, about three times for what I was making in Jonesboro, so I took it, and we stayed with the church there till they moved the whole church, 250 of us, to the Kansas City proper in 1956. And so we've served the Lord there these many years, and the Lord has blessed us. We raised three daughters, and it's just been a wonderful journey. And I'd like to say the Oklahoma City meeting was almost like the spirit that fell in Louisville. Don't you agree with me? That Sunday evening, the spirit started in the back of the church. It fell. It just slayed people all the way up to the platform, the ministers, the band, the choir, and the preachers didn't get to say anything that evening except good night, and I'll see you tomorrow. And Brother Smith gave a wonderful message that Monday before I believe we were dismissed around noon, but you gave a wonderful message there also, and I really enjoyed it. And I'm just so thankful, and I'm glad to have my sister with me. So thankful for God's blessings. All my life, He's watched over and kept me, and I'm so thankful. And I love all the people of God. I'm going to visit just as many churches as I can before the Lord calls me home. And I'm glad to be here.
You know, as Brother Foster said a while ago, when you get old, you don't do like you do when you're young, you know. But anyway, we're glad to be here today, and we intend to come every time that we get a chance. And I just want to thank everybody for being so nice. They've called us. They've sent us cards. They brought food and stayed and ate with us, and we fellowshipped. We just enjoyed it so much, and we want you to just keep on coming. We enjoyed it so much. So I'll tell you what, there's nothing like the people of God. And I just think we got the best. I don't mean just here in this church. I mean the body of Christ in general. We're just a wonderful people. And I'm so thankful that the Lord called me when I was just a little girl and let me to go with this people. I feel so privileged. And I thank Him every day. I thank Lord. If I pinch myself, will I wake up? I've had such a wonderful feeling. But anyway, God is so good, and I'm so thankful today to be here again, to feel the Spirit of the Lord, and I'm glad that I can feel Him at home. I listened to the DVDs, and I was sitting there listening, and the Spirit hit me, and I'll tell you, now listen, that feels good. You know that? When you listen to the DVDs and you can feel the Spirit, I'll tell you, that is wonderful. And so I know it's very important to be at church, but if we can't take it home with us and feel us, it's something wrong. You know that? Not with it, but you know. But anyway, God is so good to us, and I'm so thankful today to have Brother James and Sue with us. And we've known each other a long time. Some of us has been around so long that we don't even call each other friends. We're just kinfolks, you know. And so I've known Brother James since he was just a small little boy, and we've been in church together for years, and it's so good to have him here today and Sue with him and all, and I'll tell you, it's just wonderful to meet with the people of God. It's just a wonderful privilege. So I thought how that he and his family, we've all been in church together for years and raised our children. And so it has. It's been a wonderful journey. I know we've went through the roughs and the toughs, but you know that's a part of the game. That's a part of the package. And so we've got to be tried and tested, because Jesus is not going to, he's not going to have anything if it's not like he wants it. So I'm so thankful to be among this people and feel what we feel and to know the things that that we're being taught. I appreciate this message. I really do. So it's good to be here today, and thank you all for being so good. We appreciate and love you.
Foster was talking about Brother Souders when he died. He died in November of 52, like Brother James mentioned. And he was prophesying before he died that that there would be something after his death great come to this body that would help us, help this body go on and finish this work of restoring the church. And of course, when he died in November of 52, then it was in the campground in 1953 when the new experience hit. And people fell between services, or when service wasn't going on that morning. It yet hadn't started. And people fell out all over that hill up there. They said the man driving the bread truck drove up there and saw people laying out over that on that hill, and he turned around, drove back downtown, said, "My Lord," said, "there's people laying dead up there all over that hill." And said, "Something's happened up there." But he didn't know that the Spirit of God had just fell that way. Sister Agnes Lewis gave a message out in tongues laying in the dirt up there. Brother Mullinall interpreted it. Someone heard him, and they recorded it, that he said, "This is just a drop in the bucket of what I have for my people. This is to help you for through the days ahead. And it's just a drop in the bucket of what I have for my people." Well, I've always said if that was just a drop in the bucket, we've got the remainder of the bucket loaded coming. And so I still have a vision of a restored church, of the body of Christ. Of course, most of you know I was with Brother Ray Leniger, traveled with him several years before he passed away, but I was with him the night that he died in the motel room there in Jacksonville, Florida, in November of 2002, exactly 50 years, the same month that Brother Souders died. And he was preaching in 2002 that the next year, he kept telling us, 2003 should be a jubilee year. We should have a jubilee year in 2003, because that would be 50 years. A jubilee in the Bible was the 50th year. Every 50 years under the law of Moses was a year of jubilee. And really, we'd never had anybody in this body as long as I'd been here talk on the jubilee. I never heard that talked on. Brother Leniger's one began to prophesy that we'd have a jubilee year. And, of course, it got us in the mode of looking for some great move of God, some great operation of the Spirit in 2003. And but he kept pointing us towards that. And then, of course, I didn't get it all until after Brother Leniger died. I didn't really look into it. I was just taking his word, because I do believe Brother Leniger was a great prophet. He wasn't just a prophet, but He was a man of God that he would bring the fear of God on your life. And when he began to talk, and he'd always reach out and pull the future in so close to you that it'd make you feel like you better straighten up and get your life straightened up, because there's not too much. He'd make you feel like, my Lord, this is coming on us faster than I thought it was. And his message would always just bring a feeling of judgment that I need to get my life cleaned up, straightened up, pleasing God. And but in 2003, some men began to think that we weren't going to get a jubilee. A jubilee in the Bible in the 50th year, here's the things that were to happen in the jubilee. It was all debts were forgiven. All Hebrew slaves were given their freedom. You could sell yourself as a, of course, there were slaves, there was slavery back under the law, but a Hebrew could not be a slave to another Hebrew. He could sell himself as a slave, but he had to be freed on the 50th year. Even if he had a awl bore in his ear and became a slave forever, in the 50th year, that forever ended. The 50th year, all slaves were free. Then also your inheritance was restored to you. If you could sell your land, you know, everyone, there were 12 tribes in Israel. If you was at whatever tribe you was in, you was an heir under your father or your great-grandfather, going all the way back to one of the 12 sons of Jacob. That land that was allotted in the promised land of the 12 tribes, you inherited a certain portion of it. You was an heir of that. You could sell it, but it still reverted back to the original owner at the end of 50 years. So if you sold it when there was 49 years left, it'd bring a lot of money. But if there was just 1 year left before the jubilee, it wasn't worth much. Because that year, it had to be a Sabbath year. You couldn't plow or sow any seed or reap any harvest in it. That had to be a Sabbath year, a year of rest. And so all debts were forgiven. All slaves were freed. All inheritance was restored. And in 2003, God healed this body. This body was separated. It was divided. We had the campground group. We had the group of Brother C.O. Dixon out at Pilgrim's Temple. We had the convention center brethren, Brother Jolly's group, our group, there was Brother Goodwin's group, there was all these groups that had been splintered and severed and divided. In 2003, God, there were messages, moves of the Spirit. There was a message at the campground that brought forgiveness on us. God required us to forgive. We repent for the sins of our forefathers that brought all this division. And that was a great operation of God when that took place. But then God began to do things that brought, and now all debts have been forgiven. God put that on us to forgive all of that. And he also caused all slaves, if you was a slave to that, wherever you were captivated by whatever group, God let you get your inheritance back. You were no longer in any captivity to remain outside. And then our inheritance, God's opened it up people can get their inheritance back. And what a great jubilee. We were looking for God to do something like just a great move of the Spirit. Let me tell you something, saints. What God has done is far greater than just a manifestation or a moving of the Spirit that would just help us through the future. And those two jubilees represent 100 years from way back in, we used to use in 1901 when the baptism of the Holy Ghost was poured out at Charlie Parham's school in Topeka, Kansas, which that's true. That's when it did happen. But it moved from there with Brother Seymour and other brethren to Houston, Texas, and then it moved from there to Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California. And then by 2003, I didn't put this date together until after all this happened, but I saw that by 2003, the Holy Ghost was established in the United States. The move of God in the Holy Ghost was established in a great way. And the Pentecostal move was on. That God had restored the church beyond just Protestantism. And Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, was reestablished and restored to the church. And this message had been the very heart of that operation of the Holy Ghost for 50 years. That was during Brother William Souders' ministry, who I think Brother Souders was an apostle myself, maybe an early apostle in the late Gentile times, but he was also a prophet. There ain't no question about it. He was a prophet of God. He prophesied, showed what God was going to do in the future in many ways. And I don't think there's a greater prophet since Brother William Souders than Ray Lineger. I'm sorry if no one wants to agree with me on that, but I just know the history of this body, and I know that man. I traveled with him. I slept with him. I knew his heart, and I watched his gift operate. He wasn't just a prophet, but he was a prophet of God. As a matter of fact, he prophesied his own death. Brother Weiniger was in the van with me the night he died. We just ate hamburgers at Burger King, and Brother Weiniger was staying in the motel right down the road. Brother Lineger and I were staying at the Holiday Inn. And before Brother Lineger and I got out of the van, he looked at me and Brother Weiniger, and he said, "If I don't have a massive stroke or die before this meeting's over, it'll be a miracle." He said, "That's the kind of pressure I feel on my body. I don't feel like that I can live under this pressure if God don't do something." 2 hours later, he was dead in our room. I mean, he just, it's just amazing. He just sometimes just say things, it just come to pass. I don't think he realized all what he was saying was prophecy. But my point is that he prophesied, and I don't think it was an accident that he died 50 years to the exact same month of William Souders, prophesying that something would come the following year, which made it the Jubilee, or 50 years from the new experience that we had. And I won't take time today, but I could show you the four prophetical times of a year, 360 years, a day, 100 years, a month, 30 years, and an hour, 15 years. I could show you that we are right now in 2003 started the 30-year month, prophetical month in 2003, which we're right now in fixing to embark on 2015. Which puts us 12 years into the 30 years. So I'm not a man that tries to, say this is what's going to happen in this year or month, or You know, Brother Leonard used to say, he used to say, I can tell you when Jesus is coming. He said, I can tell you not only the day, I can tell you the hour that he's coming. I remember him doing that in a few meetings, you know. Boy, people would get quiet, sat right up on their seat. And he'd say, he'd finally get everybody's attention, and he'd say, it's in the hour that you think not. And he'd get us, you know, on that. But which he was using scripture, so we couldn't say nothing about that, what he come up with. But we know that, and if you was in this meeting, there was so much said that would bring it so real in your mind and in your spirit of how close we are in the end of the Gentile world. And we know there's yet many things to happen. There's still, the church has to be restored. There still has to be a restoration of the ministry. Babylon has got to come out of her, my people. That message hadn't went forth yet. I might just get up and say a few words here. I'm starting to feel it. So, but in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, if you want to just follow me there, I'll just say a few words here on it. I don't want to take Brother Green's time altogether. But, and he's heard me on this, but in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, the first five verses is dealing with the bride that was already made up, a portion of the bride. But in the sixth verse, John said, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. John seeing, he saw another angel. Now, angels in the Bible is not always talking about third heaven angels. The word angel means messenger. This is talking about a ministry. The messengers of God that down here, this chapter, if you read it and follow the context of it, is dealing with the harvest of the end of the Gentile world. And here John sees another ministry, another messenger, flying in the midst of heaven. We're finally to get enough of this Word of God restored that the wings of God, the old and new covenant, that, you know, every scribe, the Bible said, finally is able to bring out of, as a householder, is able to bring out both old and new. This message is, you have to get the Word of God out of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant and harmonize it and see the whole plan of God. And this ministry is the ministry of a restored church that finally gets this gospel up in a second heaven condition, flying in the midst of heaven, to have the wings of the old and new covenant, to get us up off of the earthly, devilish, sensual level of carnality into the divine order of God and the divine word of God that will bring eternal judgment and save us, our souls, eternally. That's what we're looking for, is eternal life. Judgment that will save our souls eternally. And so that's what John saw. And to preach to them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice. Here's three messages that this restored ministry is going to preach. The first their first message is going to be saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." And there followed another angel saying, "Babylon is fallen, is fallen." See, that hadn't happened yet. Babylon out here, God's got a host, numerous people out here in confusion, in Christianity. They're His people. He loves them. And He will gather them out of that into one body before this harvest takes place, or before it's finished. It's part of the harvest. But the first thing, the first message of this ministry, a restored church, is fear God and give Him glory. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you was in the meeting in Oklahoma City, it just put a little more fear or awe. It's not that we're afraid of God altogether, you know, like we're scared of Him. But you better be some scared of God. He is going to judge. Every man must stand before the judgment seat of God. But we're to be in awe of Him. We're to realize how serious it is to serve the living God. He's a consuming fire. He's the creator of all things. And the purpose of His creation is to save you and I. Save our souls from a fallen condition. I appreciated Brother Leo Brown's message. I thought he preached a marvelous message that was needful Thursday night. And that was a great message. It was needful, but it if you was sitting there listening to it, it should have gave you the feeling of how serious a time we're living in, how corrupt this world has become, and what the signs of the end of an age, the end of a world that's coming upon us. And to understand what God has called us to, He's not just called us out of religion, but He's called us out of the world. He calls us out of this world and out of religion. And you can get entangled in the things of this world. You can get entangled in religion. But God, before this is over, He's going to have a message. God's going to move in such a marvelous way of the power and demonstration of His Spirit that's going to cause us to fear Him and give Him glory. Look, when God's saving you, when He is working in your life and He's getting your life cleaned up and He's, you know, transforming you, you'll give Him glory. You'll have such praise and such awe for what God's doing in your life, and not only our lives, but what we see Him doing in other people's lives. What we see Him doing in the body, how He's operating in the body of Christ, not just in each local church, but the body as a whole. What God's doing as a whole. That's why I really would like to encourage y'all to make as many meetings as you can. These meetings are getting more powerful. The manifestation of God is getting stronger. There's things that God's doing that, you know, we've went through. And the body does this. Every church does it. Every church goes through things. They go through lulls. I don't like lulls, but we go through them. We have services sometimes where there's a lull. You know, if you've been around here long enough, when you feel the lull, you'll think, you know, somebody needs to do something. We're in a lull. Somebody's got to do something. Somebody say something. Do something. Sing a song. I'd like to encourage our song, not only the song singers, but even our band. Those of you that went, wasn't that a marvelous band? That was very good. Just a band song, if it's put together right. And then they didn't just play one song. They'd move out of one song into the other. They'd shift gears on you. They got me crying and lifting up my hands, praising God, and then they had me dancing. They just shifted it in another gear and seen that, you know, this the Spirit of God wants to do more than just what we're doing right now. Let me tell you something. Music can help the Spirit of God be ushered into a service. And I'd like to see us work on doing more in our music department, our singers. I'd like to encourage our singers to get more, you know, dig down, find things for us, help us find something to carry us over the top at times. And I watched Brother Linegar in this meeting in Oklahoma City. You know, he about wore his voice out. Just, you know, he wanted that meeting to carry, he wanted it to go over the top. And if he didn't think he was doing very good, he'd grab him a microphone and he'd just holler, "Hallelujah!" You know, just all of us would look at him and he'd just keep working on it to try to get us lifted. Well, it's because he's been around this long enough that he knows it. Sometimes you got to kind of help people get out of the starter blocks. And, but anyway, there's going to be a message. And I think I'll just tell you, I don't mind telling you, I'm willing to back up. I'm willing to make adjustments. But if my timetable right now is, and I know it has to be close, but I wouldn't try to nail it down to an exact year. But I do see the prophetical month of the end of the Gentile times starting in 2003, which would take us to 2033. That's when I see America being judged and devastated and going down. God's going to judge this nation. You can just mark that down. There's no way 10 kings could come into power with the United States standing in the strength that they have right now worldwide. But this nation is going to set up a image to the beast, and God's going to use them to do it. But then he'll judge this nation. This nation will go down, and 10 kings will come into power. And I see that happening in 2033 or thereabouts. I can adjust it, but I've got reasons for putting it in 2033. One of the reasons is because of 2003, the 100 years takes us from 1903 to 2003. I went backwards on that from 2003, Jubilee, to 2053, then back to 2003 when the Holy Ghost was established. That's the 100-year day. 1903, I'm sorry. And then 360 years before that, the prophetical year takes you back to 1943 when Protestantism was established in this world. 1543, I'm sorry. 1543 plus 360 will take you to 1903. Those are prophetical timetables. So then there's 15 years after 2003, the last 2033, which is the last prophetical hour. But the bride will be made up in the first 7.5 years of that, and then the wrath of God will be poured out, ending in the Battle of Armageddon. So we've got, well, how many years from right now? 2000 and from 14, we got 19 years. Next year we'll have 18 years left if that time frame is, and look at it this way too. I'm not even using this in the time frame that brings me to 2033, but add 2,000-year Gentile world to A.D. 33 when the baptism of the Holy Ghost was poured out, when the early church started, and that takes you to 2033. So it works both ways. So there's reasons to know. I mean, we should all know we're getting down in the end of the Gentile world. And so this ministry is going to come forth. These three messages are going to come forth. First, fear God and give Him glory. God's going to do some marvelous things in the power and demonstration of the Spirit that's going to set the stages to gather God's people out of Babylon. Yes, He is, just like He did in the early church. Now, those apostles did miracles. Men of God that just walked, their shadows. People, if you could get somebody that needed a miracle in the shadow of a man of God, it'd heal him, he'd rise up, walk.
the blind would see. God used those things to woo people and gather them in and see the power of God and the operation of God back there. After God gathered them in and began to, and back there, he was gathering people out of their Babylon, gathering people out of Judaism, the false confusion of God's people that they were all bound up in, the different secular groups of that world and of that Jewish world. They were in the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Elamites and the Herodians and all of those different divisions back there. God gathered those people out of that into his body. And Babylon, their message was Babylon is fallen. Brother, when they went to preach, that's what got them thrown in jail. It's what got them beaten. It's what got them martyred, because they gathered God's people out of those groups. And they were hated for it. So that system came against them. But they still gathered God's people. God did that. Wisdom was justified of her children. God presented the message to the leaders of Judaism, but they rejected it. And when they rejected it, it gave God justification to get it together, the people, to get the people. He gave the preachers, he gave the men of God the opportunity first to come. But when they rejected the message, so there's got to be a great operation of God first to woo God's people, then to show the fallen condition of Babylon and gather God's people. Then the third message, if you read in the ninth verse, it said, then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, forehead or hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. So this ministry will bring judgment. And it'll finally end up, it shows that not only was there a mark of the beast, but his image. See, the image of the beast hadn't been set up yet. There's a two-horned beast in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation that is going to be set up. A two-horned beast is going to set up an image to the beast. Down here, this is talking about those that receive the worship the beast and his image. There's a beast system right now. There's been a beast system in the Gentile world since AD 325. But that ruled the world until 1798, and no longer did Roman Catholicism rule this world of religion. That it broke out, Protestantism and Pentecostalism, the body of Christ, the restored church is coming into existence, but the religious world that rejects the body of Christ and rejects the manifestation and the message of God, they will gather together in another system. They'll call it the body of Christ. They'll say, we're coming together in a universal one body of people. And they're going to set up an image to the beast. That first beast went down, but there'll be an image to that, something just like it. And that will be set up. And then that man of perdition will be given power again to rule this world. But there'll be a message in this body. If you take that mark, if you take that in your forehead, that's their doctrine. You take the concept of that doctrine and the ideology of that system in your thinking, and you get marked with that. Or if you take it in your hand, the ministry is the hand of God, and there's many ministers of God out here in Babylon that will reject the manifestation of God and join up with the beast system, the image of the beast. And there's going to be a message. If you take that mark, if you become a part of that, the wrath of God, because God's going to judge that. It's got God's people in confusion. It's got them in captivity. And God wants his people to be free. He wants the truth to set them free, and to help them to have an overcoming life, not a concept of religion that's dominated by man's ideology. And so, if you read on down in this chapter, I won't go much further with it, but in the 14th verse, John said, I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one likened to the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. Well, this cloud, this is prophetical scripture. It's symbolic. The cloud's the church. A cloud, you know, the Spirit of God, the wind, is a type of God's Spirit. It moves, it blows across the earth. I tell them over the Dominican Republic, that's an island. And the wind blows over there across the sea, which is a picture of people, nations, and tongues. And it gathers a certain element of moisture out of the waters up into the heaven, and it forms a cloud. That's a picture. God's Spirit has moved over this United States of America and in other lands that He's reaching out to, but primarily God chose America for the restoration of the church. And He's gathering, the Spirit of God has moved across this land, a picture of peoples, nations, and tongues that America's made up of. And some of them, by the Spirit of God, He's gathered them up and lifted them up off of the earthly, devilish, sensual level into a greater spiritual level, into a heavenly place. And together as a body of people, we're going to form a cloud. And when God gets that done, Jesus, once again, will be the head of the body. He'll be the one in charge of this. Thank God we're trying to give Him charge of our lives, aren't we? Aren't you trying to turn your life over to Jesus and let Him be the head of your life? Well, He's going to be sitting on this cloud of witnesses, a second heaven condition. He's going to be on that cloud, and He's going to have a golden crown on His head, which shows the purity of the Word of God that He rules with. Jesus, He's not a hard taskmaster. He's not an austere man. He's a leader. He's a King of kings. He's the King of peace. He'll bring peace to your life. Hallelujah. He'll work in your life something that none other can do. Praise His wonderful name. And this crown of gold, we're looking for that kind of leadership, that kind of government. God's been working on a ministry a long time to get us to a place that the people of God could truly be safe, that the name of the Lord could be truly a strong tower, and the righteous could run into it and be safe. Hallelujah. I believe God's doing that. I believe God's working on a ministry that's becoming clean, a clean ministry, that has the right motive, the right spirit. Their intent is not to hurt or self-gain or vanity or anything else. But they just want what God wants for His people. And Jesus is sitting on that cloud with a sickle in His hand. I said in that meeting, I said, every one of you are going to be a part. God's calling you to be a part of that sickle. There's a reaping to reap this world. A lot of wheat that God has, it's ready. The harvest is ripe. I could say today, just like Jesus said to His disciples, they walked by evidently a barley or wheat field. It was green, must have been greener than a gourd. And He said, say not it's 4 months to the harvest. Well, if it's 4 months for the harvest, it had to be green wheat. It hadn't even started coloring yellow yet, but changing colors. But He said, say not it's 4 months to the harvest. For He said, I say that the harvest is great. It's time for a harvest. Well, He was talking about a spiritual harvest. God, He was coming to harvest that world. And you had to have spiritual eyes to see it. I believe that today. I believe God, if there's a harvest, this is what I'm reading about here. Jesus is coming with a sickle in His hand. And if you'll read in the 15th verse, it says another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud. That had to be none other than God himself telling his son, thrust in your sickle, for the earth is ripe and it's ready for harvest. Hallelujah. And so there's a harvest coming in this world. There's some things that has to take place first before it comes, but God is going to harvest this world. Jesus is at the instructions of his Father, and the earth is going to be reaped. I want to be a part of that harvest. I've been in this too long to have the wrong spirit. I've been in this too long to have an ill motive or something wrong with me that would make me, you know, want to follow after vainglory or some foolish idea of men. I want to be saved. I want to have exactly what Jesus wants me to have. I want to be exactly what he wants me to be, and I want to do exactly what he wants me to do, no more and no less. Because if it's not of God, it's got to go. It can't stay. It can't be a part. You know, I realize that the heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? We may have things in our heart yet. God hadn't corrected us. Aren't you glad? I am. I'm glad for all the men of God that went before us. Even the ones that, I've been here long enough that I've seen spirits that weren't right. Let me tell you what I did see. I saw God's hand on men even if they didn't have the right spirit. You better be careful about putting your hand on a man of God and trying to judge him when God used him, when God called him. And we have to be careful of that. We've got to realize, God has to use what he got, what he has. I said in this meeting, I've said it here in this church before, I see God was the one that formed the Catholic Church. He put some order to it. He didn't have a whole lot to work with, but he had to use what he had. He had men that were holding on to his word. But God's interested in anybody that's interested in his word. He's interested in anybody that has any interest in what he's doing. And he'll take you in whatever condition you're in and begin to try to help you. And you may have a lot of ideology. You may do the wrong. Look what Jacob did. God's hand was on Jacob. He was a man of God. He was called of God. Matter of fact, from his mother's womb, God loved Jacob and hated Esau. It was the spirit that he saw that would be in the future of those men's lives. But he knew Jacob. He surely watched him. He knew he was a prankster. Jacob was a trickster. He was still a man of God. You couldn't do much. You couldn't destroy Jacob. He was God's man for that time, for that place. God had to change him. His name had to be changed to Israel, which means to rule like God and quit acting like a trickster. Quit being the trickster you are and get a change in your heart and learn how to have something in your heart to want to do things the way God wants them done. So God changed his name to Israel. But God, he stole from his brother. He worked a lot of trickery to get where he got. But finally, God cleaned him up. Finally, God took him up on, took him to Luz. And finally, that was changed to Bethel later. But God finally wrestled with an angel. He finally saw a ladder that reached up into heaven. He finally realized that God is causing me to do the things I'm doing. And he realized he had to make changes in his life. So I'm thankful for all the men of God that God's all ever used. That you got to be careful. You got to see the big picture, what God's doing. You may have a lot of ideas. Somebody told me today, they said, Brother Smith, when you first came here, I thought you was a devil. I thought you just come here and wanted to be a big shot. But he said, I've been here long enough to see your heart. And to know that wasn't true. That was just an idea. We were afraid. We were afraid of what happened. Well, I couldn't change that. I can't say that I'm, everything about me is 100% right even yet. But I can tell you it's my desire, and I'm not doing anything that I know is wrong or vain or, I'm not practicing, a vain lifehood. I'm trying to live for God, an upright, just life. And if if God can help me, I'm going to change in everything and every area I need to change from. Don't you feel like you have to do that? Sure, we do. So anyway, I just, you got my mind stirred up, Brother Foster, on Brother Souders' death and that time frame. What time frame we're living in. We're living in a time when God's already made up a portion of his bride back there in the early church. But he's going to make up the remainder of it down here in the end of this world. It's going to be made up right here in the body of Jesus Christ. You can believe that. God's not just out here working just anywhere and everywhere. Look how he done it back there. He gathered his people into one body, one spirit. That one spirit is talking about the spirit of Christ. In one faith. We can't be preaching one thing, another preacher preaching something else, and that one body, it was connected. Don't ever get to believing that all of this conglomeration out here is one body. It's not connected. That early church, all the ministry of that church was connected to those 12 apostles and the apostle Paul. They were all connected. And it was one body. The people were all connected to that message until they came to the unity of the faith and the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus. That we'd be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine whereby men lie in wait to deceive. See, I can tell you, I've been out there. I didn't grow up in here in this body. I came in here from Babylon. I can tell you, there's preachers out there preaching lies, and they know they're lies. They just don't know what else to say. They know some of that don't fit, but they'll just keep on preaching it because that's where they came from, preachers. Matter of fact, they won't be accepted if they don't preach it. They'll cause a lot of trouble on themselves. Brother Green will tell you that. We meet men over there. When that work came out in the Dominican Republic, there were men that said, "My God, I'll be tarred and feathered if I go this way, if I start preaching what y'all are preaching." But they couldn't gainsay it. Some of them knew it was the truth, but they weren't willing to suffer what the suffering would be to denounce falsehood that they were in. They knew that. And many of them went back into it because they couldn't stand. These men stood. They stood. I watched these men go through some very tough times in the beginning of that work. We've been working in the Dominican Republic 13 years now. I asked Brother Green, coming home from the meeting, I said, "Brother Green, if we had all our people together, how many would we have?" He said, "I don't know, 300 or 400. I said, "300 or 400. I said, "Let's add them up." I started adding. I got up to 800, 900. He said, "My God, Brother Smith, we got almost 1,000 people." I said, "I know it." But it did look like that, you know, when you just think about it, you know, each church. But when you start counting how many's in every church, what God's done over there. But I watched these men in the beginning, in the city they lived in, where they pastored, three churches there, where for a time they had to walk around where nobody they knew would shake their hand. And it was being put out on the radio, have nothing to do with these three men. They're false prophets. I mean, they didn't pull no punches about them. They're friends who they used to, you know, have good fellowship with, would cross the street when they'd see them coming down the street so they wouldn't have to shake their hand. Or they'd just turn their head when they walked by and wouldn't shake their hand. Elias said, "I walked down the street with my head down for nearly a year because I knew nobody liked me. Everybody was against me." Did you know they've been preaching so long over there now, and God's done so much in their churches that now people are starting to come see. People are starting to say, "Those men aren't what we thought they were. Those men have got something. We've visited their churches. The power of God's in there. People are getting saved. I know people that went to that church that live like the devil. Nobody could clean them up. They're walking a clean Christian life today. Hallelujah." They see that. They see what God's doing for them. So it took men that could stand. Well, that kind of reminded me back of Brother Souders' day. Men like Brother Tucker. And those men that worked the road out for us, those men suffered. They went through a suffering time for this body to be where it's at today. And we We've come through a lot of things, but I'm just telling you, saints, hold on. There's something coming. There's something coming that God's going to do after a while that's going to cause people to fear Him and give Him glory. Jesus is coming back on a cloud. Praise God. And it's not going to be just a little church in Little Rock, Arkansas, or a handful of people. I guarantee you this building won't hold them when God gets ready. When He starts emptying out Babylon, starts bringing them in, we're going to hope that God will give us some more men to have a few more buildings around here somewhere or something to help us out, because we're not going to be able to handle it all. I believe that with all my heart. I know what the Word of God says is going to happen. So I'm glad to be here. I appreciate the Lord today. Is my watch right? Can that be? Dear Jesus. Brother Green, you can't preach today. You're going to have to wait till Wednesday night. You are? Well, come up here and say it. I'm standing right here so you don't get to it being unbrief.
All right, stand with me, Brother Schmidt. Hopefully you will stand a little while with me.
It's almost time to eat, so be good. Right. We even have visitors here. They're hungry.
Hallelujah. So I'm glad to be here. Hallelujah. Brother Schmidt said in the Dominican Republic, there are two preachers, one preacher another preacher want to preach. One who can preach and one who cannot preach. And he got me started up this morning. Well, but it's time to go, but I just want to say, I wanted to stop by and say hello, how you doing? Good to be back home. And say this is, I was telling the brothers, somebody said, well, I thought you was going to go to Wichita first. I said, no, I had to go to the base first. This is the base. I have to report myself to the base. Home, this is home. Hallelujah. You know, other places are good, but this is home. This is the base, and I'm glad to be here and, you know, with God's people. And, you know, I appreciate you all. And I heard Brother Faustin, that's it, Foster. You know, he's one of these people, you know, who've been waiting for us and, you know, who have kept it live. And all of you who've stayed around, and thank God for you all, because if it wasn't for you all, I wouldn't be here today. Hallelujah. Thank God for, you know, people who've been working and plowing and waiting for others. Hallelujah. So I appreciate God for that. So I'm glad to be here. And as Brother Smith was saying this morning, the work in the Dominican Republic is going on, and we went through some things, and he was just saying that I was almost getting ready to cut him when he said, you know, to cut in, you know, get in when he said, well, people who know, you know, they know the truth, but they won't stand for the truth. Hallelujah. We went through some things down there, and people said all kind of things about us, but thank God, we found Mama. We found this way. Hallelujah. When I tell people, I said, well, I'm glad that I come, that God showed me this way. The Bible was written to two women, a false and a true woman. So when I found our true mama, the New Jerusalem, as Paul said, what descend from heaven. And I'm glad for that. I'm excited. And we're going on, even though we have went through some trials, tribulation. But it's worth it. Jesus paid a great price. And so we thank God today for what? For God's blessing. God has helped us. We thank God for Brother Schmidt. I tell Brother Schmidt, I say, Brother Schmidt, I'm glad for you anyway. I'm glad that you're just going to the gym and you're getting in a good health, because we cannot lose you now. Sometimes we say, well, I don't know if something happened to me and, you know, in this time, I don't know. I said, what are you talking about happened to you? What you mean? Nothing can happen to you now. Hallelujah. So, but I pray all the time for him, from him, Sister Smith, and for you all also, you know, for God to help us. It's a long way to go yet. It's a lot of work to do. And when Brother Smith come to the Dominican Republic, you know, we achieve some more, and God do some more, and he have a great gift on his life, and we have embraced it, and God has blessed us. God has blessed the word, and God have strengthened Brother Smith. I say, well, Brother Smith, sometime he say, well, I have to spend so much to come over here and do so much. I say, well, Brother Smith, God knew that you was the man to send over here. God knew it. Oh. Hallelujah. I was telling Brother Smith this morning, I said, Brother Smith, you know, I know for sure that I'm your son. I know for sure I'm there that I'm your son in the Lord, because I end up doing the same thing what you do. Oh, thank God. I thank God for Brother Smith. Certainly, he's done a great job. He has helped us in a great way. And go on, give us this message. And it's nothing greater than that. Appreciate also Sister Smith. My God, Sister Smith, I've gotten all the young people heart, and all of us, all of our hearts in the Dominican Republic. She's a great woman of God, and we appreciate her so much. And all of you have, you know, prayed for us, stood by us, and supported us down in the Dominican Republic. We appreciate that, and I'm so glad to be here and be a part of what God is doing in these last days. I would just, I would need more time to just say some of the testimony of what God is doing in the Dominican Republic. We have went through some things. And as Brother Smith was saying, some men know the truth. They said if we, let me tell you, in the beginning when I was about to come and find this way, when God prepared the way for me, when Brother Smith went to the Dominican Republic for the first time, there was a sister in church that right after we finished the service, she said, she just whispered and said, Pastor, I said, what is it? She said, look, wait a minute. Come, wait, let me tell you something. I got something to tell you. I said, what? She said, look, that was the man I saw last night. I saw him on a plane, and he was flying over the Dominican Republic. And he had his arms out of the plane saying, Jesus is coming to the Dominican Republic. Jesus is coming to the Dominican Republic. And when she said that, I said, come here. I called Brother Smith and I told him, and I began to translate and tell him what that sister was saying. And right away, the Holy Ghost, it came up in the service. We had almost another service. Right after the service was over, we had almost another service. And the Spirit of God began to move. And it was such a blessing. And after those days, you know, when Brother Smith spent those days with us, that was where my struggles began. You know, that way I wanted to come in, Brother Smith. People know the truth. But when I heard all these things and how God dealt with Brother Smith, and I knew some things already, I was put up like to the wall. And he said, what are you going to do? I was worried. I was frightened. I was scared. And I didn't know what to do. And I say, I know this is the truth, but I cannot deny it. I've been looking for this way, but now I found it. I cannot go back. but I am alone. Who's going to be with me? I mean, I'm going to be rejected. The people, the B system in town, I didn't call it the B system by that time because I didn't know the B system. But I know the pastor association, everybody, they're gonna go after me. They're going to beat me down. I was worried, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew it was the truth. But God was merciful. He sent the disciple to two and two, right? That's what he did. Later on, God put it on my heart. We was talking to Brother Smith. I said, Brother Smith, we're going to have a meeting, and this time we're going to let the people know. He said, if we have a meeting, a white sitting meeting, we're going to get in a lot of trouble. He said, well, we shouldn't do that. I said, we're going to do it. Let's do it, Brother Smith. Let's let people know. Well, we had that meeting on July the 21st, I believe the 22nd, 22nd of July, 2001. And there, at that night, when God gave that dream to Elijah, he invited him. Well, that was another man God brought in. It was many of them came. And so many, I heard them talk. What we going to do? This is the truth. There was some preacher, I knew him. They said, this is the truth. What you going to do? Said, some of them said, we have to go that way. Others said, well, we are not ready. But there was several of them. They came, but after a while, you know, when the fire got hot, they went back. It was many of them. It was like, I believe it was 8, 9, 10 of them. Only Elias and I remained. And we know that that was the truth. We had to stand, and God gave us the revelation. We went through things, and people said that we have sold ourselves for $150,000. Give us each of us. After a while, we went through some things. Lost our jobs. Had no money. We went through, we was in great need, and these people were saying we had money. People had a man come from somewhere. He went to Elijah's house, wanted to sleep in Elijah's house, and he claiming to be an evangelist, claiming to be somebody, a Christian man. He was a thief, a robbery. Wanted to come to Elijah's house. He thought Elijah had money. And Elijah's struggling. Many of us struggling. We didn't have even sometime what to eat. And then people say we had $150,000. Mama would say, you hear the words of the devil. You hear this? Well, that was terrible. But we thank God. And people we've met, we run into people. They know the truth. They say, if we preach this, we cannot go this way. But now we understand you have to have a vision and you have to be willing to go God's way and stand. Hallelujah. I thank God today. I thank God for this way. I thank God for the body of Christ. This is a great place. This is a high place in God. I cannot go back. And we got a song we sing down in the Dominican Republic. I got a vision. I have to go on. I got a vision. I cannot look back. I got a vision. You know, I got a vision. I got a vision today. I got a vision to go on. I got a vision. I cannot look back. Hallelujah. That whatever price I have to pay, I would have to go all the way. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Brother Smith, I'm going to give you this microphone. Because come see, I'm burned up. I feel good today. I thank God today for the vision he has given us. Oh, this is a great blessing. We've suffered. Lately, I was, as we go around, I'm going to say this little testimony. I'm going to sit down. I went to a mountain in the Dominican Republic, have in the northeast, in the south, north, the northeast, I believe. North, that's the north, northwest of Everest, man. Northwest of the Dominican Republic. That place is called Constanza. Constanza is, I've heard that it was one of the nicest places or part of the Dominican Republic where they grow all these vegetables and all kind of fruits back there. Yeah, and so there was a pastoral meeting, and those pastors, like, you know, 10 of them, they forming forming an organization. And this pastor, he's a pastor that, in the first, I recommended him to the ministry in 1994. And, well, God has blessed him. He have a large church. He's a lawyer now, and he want to leave the AME church, and now he forming his own denomination. Well, we kept in touch, and we've been walking, talking, and I've been telling him some things. In fact, when Brother Smith was there the last time, when we went to Santiago and Puerto Plata, we stopped by his place. Brother Smith told him something about the history of William Cyrus. And I've been talking to him some. So they had a meeting in that place. It's called La Constanza, up in that mountain. So when I went there, he had 3 days meeting. I went to be with them. It was like 10 pastors. They coming out from the Nazarene Church, from the AME Church, and other, and the Church of God, etc. So I went to be with them there, and we went up that mountain. It's a beautiful place. I want to take Fat Brother Smith over there. It gets cold, like in the winter. Gets up to 30 degrees in the Dominican Republic. We have nowhere. That's the only place that gets that cold. All year round, it's like 70, 80. But there, it comes down to 30 and 20 degrees, I heard, in the winter time. So when I went there, it's still, you know, it's cool. It's cool at night. So I went over there, and I spent that weekend with them. And there was a night that Saturday night, we went Friday night, we had that service, and Saturday night, we had another service, and Sunday morning, we're going to have another one. But at Saturday night, they had me to stand up and preach. Well, I didn't, you know, when in the body of Christ, we don't prepare no message. That was in Babylon. We used to do that. We would have fresh bread all the time. Hallelujah. So when that night, when I stood up, God blessed me in just praising the Lord. There was a young girl, like a 12-year-old girl, right in the front. She, when I began to praise the Lord and the Holy Ghost came down, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And other people around received the baptism of the Holy Ghost right away. But there was a lady, the wife of a pastor. She began to record the service and what was going on. And the next day, she called the pastor and she called me. She showed us the video. She said she haven't saw nothing like this before. She began to testify and show us in the video in that area of that mountain. We didn't have all, you know, these kind of different lights and things like that. Barely we had little light in the building. So she was showing all these different lightnings and light coming on. She said, well, she thought that it was somebody with camera in her back trying to take picture and video the service and taking picture of me up there. So she said, but she looked back. She didn't see no one. She didn't see nobody. And she, then after a while, she looked by the, on the windows. She said she saw so many people. She said she didn't know, she didn't see that was people outside the building. But through the windows, there was, you know, people dressed in white. Many people. She said, well, I'm gonna get them in my video when I finish. I'm gonna see them. For her surprise, when she looked at her video, she didn't see none of these people in the windows. She got frightened. She said, oh my God. And then after, when she saw all these lightning and coming on, and she told the pastor, come see. She called that man, and we all be going to see those lights. You know, bolts of light, lightning in the building. She got excited. So I said to myself, well, this is a testimony, and it was a good thing. And after I got down off the pulpit, other pastors that was visiting in there that they had invited, they began to take my phone number and ask me where I was. They never have heard things like that. That night, obviously, I talked about, you know, building right. Well, God wanted to talk probably to those people. And I showed them by the scripture that if they're not building according to the Bible, wherever they build is going to fall down. It's going to fall apart. Well, I didn't tell them that directly like that, but I used the scripture. Had to be wise, use wisdom. We talked about building. So before I come to America, the week before, I received a call from one of these pastors over there. He said, Pastor, I'm telling you, I'm yet excited of the meeting we had over there. And I went. I heard your preaching. I need you to come over and teach us and help us and give us more about of this message. I said, well, I'll be going to America now. And when I come back, I'm going to make plans to come and visit you. Go up to that mountain and visit them. He said, we have a ministry, an independent ministry. We started like with 13 people. Now we have like 70, 80 people gathering in one place. And we need help. We need your teaching. So when I come back, I'm going to go over there. So I'm going to make plans, and well, Brother Smith going to go over there also. Going to go up to the mountain. See what God is going to do. Pray for us. You know, I appreciate you all. I've went through many struggles and things. Our economy in the Dominican Republic gets tight. Sometimes it becomes some difficult for me to go to different places. As Brother Smith was saying this morning, in some way, there was a time I had a dream that Brother Smith was in charge of the Department of ID in the Dominican Republic. And he was in charge of that. Then he said, well, Brother Green, I have to leave, and you have to be, I'm going to appoint you to be the in charge of giving people those IDs. Well, for a while, I thought, I said, I probably should let Brother Elias be in charge of it. But then I thought bad. I said, I'm going to do it because Brother Smith is appointing me to do so. So then I told Brother Smith the dream. He said, well, Brother Green, you know, I'm in the general bodies. I was sent from the general body in America to the Dominican Republic. And you was the door to the, and here in the Dominican Republic, and so all preachers and pastors gonna be the one who come, you're gonna present them to me and to the general body in America. I said, my God. So it's a job, and God has been leading me to different pastors, And to deal with leaders and pastors, it takes wisdom to do some things. And well, God has been helping me with, but thank God I'm under an apostleship that have good wisdom. And I remember sometime we was in, I will tell that to Elias sometime. I said we was there having holy communion and giving communion and doing all kind of, you know, dark things in the dark. But we didn't know what we was doing. And Brother Smith sitting there and looking at all our foolishness and all our trash things. I said, Elia, you don't remember that? He said, my God, now I'm ashamed. Said, now I'm ashamed of what we used to do. So we appreciate the Lord for that. And so we know God, Brother Schmidt, have an apostolic gift. He's a sent man of God to the Dominican Republic. We recognize that. God have used him in a great way to put things and establish things over there. So we appreciate that. And I thank God for him, pray for him. I'm praying for him too. We need his gift for a long more time. Well, with that, I'm not telling God what to do. God knows his time, but I'm praying to and asking God to give him a, you know, long life and help for him to continue to do the work, because in the Dominican Republic and other parts of the world have a lot of work to do, and we know that this is the Gentile world is coming, that harvest is coming, and hopefully God will allow us to be a part of it. So pray for us in the Dominican Republic, and we appreciate you all, your support. Whenever Brother Smith goes to the Dominican Republic, your offering, and keep on help doing so. And who giveth to the poor, they loan unto God. Loan God your money, and God will return it back to you. Okay, so may God bless you. My God, I want to keep on running, but it's ready. It's time to go. God bless you. Have a good day.
No, we need to take up an offering, and appreciate God today. Appreciate having gone to that meeting in Oklahoma City as well. We did have a visitor that came in a little bit later in the service. I believe his name is Craig Grayner. Craig Grayner, good to have you here, Brother Craig. God bless you. And yes, appreciate Brother Green and the brethren over there in the Dominican Republic. Having gone to both sides of that island over there, Haiti and Dominican Republic, make me appreciate the people more, and have somewhat mixed emotions, you know, because I had gone to Haiti with Brother Tucker and also Brother Linegar, and I was telling him, we was up talking one night, service in the Dominican Republic. I said, well, I followed Brother Tucker to Haiti, followed Brother Linegar to Haiti, now I followed Brother Smith to the Dominican Republic, and I don't regret none of it. I appreciate God, seeing God reach out to people, and they really are hungry over there. I mean, it really, they are people that really love God. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and take up this offering, and if the ushers come on up, I know it's getting not real late, but we need to do this. Yeah, we need to. All right. Yes. All right. Any other needs? We're going to pray. Sister Rachel. Go ahead. All right. Remember, Sister Elder, Sister Linda. Okay. Okay, Sister Donna's mother. All right. And, of course, Brother and Sister Crow here. Good to have them here today. And Brother Smith mentioned Sister Vila has cancer. I can't remember if it's stage four, but anyway, remember Sister Vila. We know we have outstanding requests that we always, you know, take before the Lord. And just remember, I know you probably have loved ones that you pray for, and you know, just think about them now while we have this time to come before the Lord and think about the needs of God's people. Sister Brenda Hutch.
Still struggling, you know. It's hard to make a transition late in life, and she's still trying to feel on God after losing Brother Hutchinson. So yes. Let's keep her in our prayers.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Brother Johnson's wife. Let's keep remembering her. It's good to have him here today.
Have him.
Okay.
Good to have him here. Yes. Sir. Okay. Remember Brother Dodson. Facing the procedure. Sister Abraham. Your family? All right. Let's all stand. Yes, come on, brother. Yes. He went through the procedure. Brother Fleming, remember, pray for him. He got through his procedure, but he's still having some issues with it. So let's remember him. Pray for him. All right, let's take these needs to the Lord and ask that God will, you know, look on his people, help them. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, this, having this opportunity, Lord, to come before you and mention our needs, Lord. We thank you for having this time. Stand before you, Lord. Help your people, Lord, needs. Lord, help us that our hearts will reach out in passions. Oh, God, each request. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, help each one, each spoken and unspoken. Oh, blessed be your name. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Oh, God, we thank you. Oh, yes, Lord, the work of the Dominican Republic and Haiti. Oh, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory. Yeah. Yeah.
salvation I go to the rock.
Say something before we go downstairs right quick.
Well, I am glad to be here. It's been a while. Thankful to see my family and thankful that I have a vision. Thank the Lord for the times of trial that I put myself through. He took me as I was when I decided to come back to Him. But the Lord works miracles. You know, He will, if you search, He will provide and He will give you that vision and He'll put you through trials. When there's a lull in your life, you learn to respond instead of react. And even things you don't understand and things that go on, if you keep yourself humble and quiet and lean on the Lord and know what your foundation is, He will always provide and give you that vision. And I'm so thankful that I'm a part of the body of Christ, and no matter what church you go to here, you can always feel His Spirit. And I'm just thankful that I have a family like this to come back home to. And just keep us in your prayers. We do have a little one on the way. But we're excited, and we appreciate the Lord and glad to be here.
All right. I know there's plenty of food downstairs, and if you haven't ever ate any of the cooking from the Little Rock women, well, you're missing something. Anyway, we want you all to stay that will. We'd love for everybody to stay and eat with us, have fellowship with us. Praise God. Let's give Him a praise right quick before we dismiss. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy on our lives. Oh, God, we give you praise. Bless our food and our fellowship now.